We're learning Yeshaya, Perek Ches, Pasuk Yud Aleph. This is the 12th Shir. Today's Shir is sponsored Le'ili Nishmas, Bela Bas Rav Shlomo Meir, whose yard site is today Choftes Teves. Her love was unconditional, and she devoted her life to taking care of her family and worrying about them. The Neshama Zahavin and Aliyah. Pasuk Yud Aleph. We had learned earlier in the Perek, Yeshaya Hanavi was told to take a scroll and write on it the words Maher Sholol Choshbaz, that the plunder hastens, there will be spoils quickly. And then he had a son, and he gave his son that name, Maher Sholol Choshbaz, as a sign that the punishment was imminent, and the 10 tribes would be carried away in exile. And Hashem continued telling him that besides the 10 tribes being lost, in Malchus Yehuda, in the kingdom of Yehuda, there was opposition to the monarchy of David HaMelech, which was continuing in his descendants. At this moment, it was the wicked king Ochaz, who would be followed by his righteous son Chizkiyahu, and people despised the leadership of Chizkiyahu that would be coming. It was like the gently flowing stream, where he wasn't interested in all of the royal trappings of a monarchy. And he simply insisted that the people should devote themselves to Torah, eat simple, live simple, and learn Torah. And the people preferred to have a ruler like Ritzin, who had been the king of Aram, and Pekach ben Remaliyahu, who was the king on the 10 tribes. So Hashem said, if you despise the gently flowing river, the king Tzidkiyahu, he'll bring the torrential, the powerful stream, the king of Ashur, who would come and flood the land, and he would conclude the exile of the 10 tribes, and he would wreak destruction on the land of Yehuda until he himself was wiped out, he and his army, outside Yerushalayim. Utsu Eitz of Asufar, they take counsel, but it'll all be annulled. Dabru Dover, whatever people speak, Blo Yokum won't stand. Kimonu Kale, because Hashem is with us. The Navi continues in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Kicho Amar Hashem Eli. So said Hashem to me, Bechezkas Hayod, with a powerful prophecy, with a strong hand, Yeshaya was forced to accept this nevuah. V'yisreini, and he was warned, he was admonished, Mileches b'derech ha'am hazeh, from going in the path of this people. Lamor saying, Yeshaya is going to be told a message, and the basic point in his message is not to be drawn after the crowd. Which is interesting, because a person as great as Yeshaya HaNavi is warned that once there's a cabal, once there's a conspiracy, and the people are working and trying to undermine the Malchus of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, sometimes even a tzaddik, even somebody like Yeshaya, is in danger of getting swept along with it. And he's given this powerful prophecy, Bechezkas Hayod, with a strong hand. And he's admonished, the Yisraini, that he shouldn't get caught up with them. Don't follow the crowd. In Parshas Vaera, that we just learned, the Ramban discusses the pasuk we see so many times in the Torah. I would assume it's the most common pasuk. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemor. And Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying. And the Ramban discusses, what does that word lemor mean? What does it mean, saying? Some from the Radak say it means that Moshe was supposed to convey it to others. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe. Hashem spoke to Moshe. Lemor, that Moshe should say to others and he should tell the Jewish people. Or if he's told to speak to Paro, it's Hashem spoke to Moshe, lemor, that he should tell Paro. The Ramban says, though, there are many psukim where after it says, Vaydabar Shema Moshe lemor, the next pasuk will say, Dabar al B'nai Yisrael, that he should speak to the B'nai Yisrael. So obviously, lemor very often doesn't mean to tell the Jewish people, because the next pasuk tells him to do that. And the Ramban says the word lemor, saying, could mean that the message was not, especially, you'll always find it by Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemor. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu was given a message by Hashem, there was nothing unclear. It was totally, the message was fully understood. Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was b'mare, was a vision, v'lo b'chidos, there were no riddles. Unambiguous. It was Moshe Rabbeinu fully understood the message. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, Hashem spoke to Moshe, lemor, was with a clarity that Moshe Rabbeinu fully understood. And we find it elsewhere in the Torah. For instance, when Lavan met Yaakov, he was chasing after Yaakov fled. And he said, Hashem came to him the previous night, Emesh Omar Eli Lamor. Hashem came to me the previous night saying, again that word Lamor, that Lavan was told with no uncertainty that he better not do anything to harm Yaakov. With that Ramban in mind, it could be over here also. Kicho Amar Hashem Eli. Hashem said to me, Yeshaya, Becheska Sayod, with a strong hand, this prophecy was given to him. And he was admonished, V'yisreini milechas b'derech om hazeh. Lemor, saying, meaning Hashem said this to Yeshaya with, again, every word is used to show us the severity and that Yeshaya was told this following message. The Rambam says in Hilchas Deis, the nature of a person is to be drawn after his friends, after his neighbors, after the people that he's with. Yeshaya is dealing, well, the Gemara discusses, we mentioned it previously, that Chizkiyo HaMelech had his yeshiva. And the opposition, Shevna, who was going against the king and who wanted to make his own peace deal with the enemy, with Sancheiriv, this Shevna had his own yeshiva. With even more students. He was a great scholar, Shevna. And there's a danger that Yeshaya might feel that perhaps he should follow the majority. A person has to be very careful not to be influenced by the wrong influences. And Yeshaya is told clearly, Lo somrun kesher. Don't say that there's any cabal, there's any conspiracy, there's anything to it. L'chol asher yomar ha'am hazeh kosher. This people that you're dealing with, they think they have a kesher, they have a bond, and they're united together to accomplish what they consider to be great things. There's a mutiny, there's a conspiracy. Don't say kesher, that there's something to it, and that you want to join such a group. Everything that this nation is calling a kesher, is calling a bond, don't join with them. And what they're afraid of, you should not be afraid of. And don't be overwhelmed by their plans and what they consider to be strong. Occasionally a person is afraid of a mazik, there's somebody that can hurt him, even though the person is not strong. He's weak. but perhaps he's got a weapon or he's got something that he's able to inflict harm, but he himself is not a real strong adversary. And then sometimes a person has such an overwhelming awe for an opponent, somebody that he just feels is so strong and powerful, but he's happy to know that this opponent won't do anything to him and will leave him alone and is not a threat. But he, in his mind and in his heart, he feels that there's some other force out there that he just has to reckon with, and hopefully nothing bad will happen and they'll remain on good terms. Over here, Lo Somrun Kesher, Yishai is told, do not consider, don't say there's anything to this conspiracy. L'chol asher yomar ha'am hazeh kosher. Whatever they consider a conspiracy is not. Don't consider there to be anything to it. V'esmoro lo siru. And what they're afraid of, you should not be afraid. Even if it wouldn't be strong. But if there's, sometimes a person's afraid because there can be a source of harm. Don't be afraid of whatever they're afraid. Velo saritsu, what overwhelms them, they're impressed with the strength of Sancheiriv's army. What they consider so powerful should not have any effect on you. You don't consider that to be any source of strength. Kesher Rishoyim Eino Min Haminyan. If the Rishoyim, the wicked, join together, it's not considered to really be a bond. The Gemara refers to Talmidei Chachamim, the Torah scholars, as chaverim, as comrades, as friends. They use the term a chover as opposed to an am ha'aretz, is the one who's ignorant, and the Talmidei Chachamim were called chaverim. And the reason they were called chaverim is because if somebody's united and they're trying to understand what Hashem wants from them, if that's the focus of their life, they're able to develop a closeness that can't be found anywhere else. People who get together because they're interested in doing some crime or doing some aveira. There's a pasuk in Mishlei, Letava Yevakesh Nifrod. Somebody going after Tivus, after his desires, is somebody who really is separate from others. They join together to do the crime, but if everyone's in it for their own good, it's not a real bond, because they're not really joined together. Each one is looking out for himself, and as long as it's convenient, they stick together, and as soon as their interests separate, the connection falls apart. Lo somrun kesher. Don't consider it to be a conspiracy, a bond. Whatever these Rishoyim are planning is not a real kesher. And you can't look at it and say, well, they have such a group of people and they're a greater group than we are, because they're a group of individuals. They're just a bunch of single people who at the moment join together to accomplish something. But it's not a real bond. The real bond would be found among the Chachamim, among those who want to serve Hashem. There were different groups. There was a group of Shevna and his, who wanted to join Sancheiriv. They wanted to make peace. We learned the other day, last week, he shot an arrow, and on the arrow it wrote that Shevna and his group want to make peace, and Sancheiriv, the general of Ashur, their king, their general, Sancheiriv should know that only Chizkiyo wants to fight and is refusing to surrender. But Shevna is willing to make peace. For that group, Lo Somrun Kesher, L'chol Asher Yomar Al Mazeh Kosher, those people that are actively rebelling and working against Chizkiyo, that's not a Kesher. And then there's a group that didn't do anything. They were afraid to go against Chizkiyo, their king. But inside, they were afraid. They saw the great army of Sancheiriv. They knew the land all around was desolate. And they were afraid. Vesmoro lo siru. Don't have the fear that they have. And it's possible there's a third group that was prepared to fight. And they wanted to go out and show what they could do against Sancheiriv, even though it was really a hopeless cause. Sancheiriv's army, v'derech hateva, without a miracle from Hashem, such nobody would dream of being able to fight Sancheiriv, these few people in Yerushalayim. But there were those who felt they were strong. V'lo saritzu. Don't consider yourself strong. Strong enough to go out and fight Sancheiriv. Es Hashem tzvokos, oso saktishu. Hashem, He's the one that you should acknowledge. Hashem was the tzvokos, means He controls all the tzvos, all of the hosts, everything in heaven and earth, all the celestial beings, to the tiniest insects and one-celled organisms. Everything in the whole world is controlled by Hashem tzvokos. And yet, osu saktishu, He's above it all. He's holy that He's not tied down and connected to this mundane world. He controls it all, He sees it all, He guides it all, and yet He's holy, He's above that all. V'huma rachem. It's a correct feeling to have a sense of fear. A person shouldn't feel that he can do everything and there's no control, nothing to be afraid of. A person should have the fear, but the fear should be of chas v'sholem going against Hashem. Humorachem, He's the one you should fear. V'humaritzchem, and if you want to feel overwhelmed by somebody's power, v'humaritzchem, what should impress you with strength is the strength of Hashem. And it could also mean that if you acknowledge that Hashem, osu saktishu, He's the one who's holy. V'humorachem, He will give you the fear on your enemies, that your enemies will be afraid of you. V'humaritzchem, and He'll be your strength, that others will look to you. And they'll say, Klal Yisrael is such a powerful nation, because Hashem is with them. Yeshaya shouldn't be influenced. He shouldn't turn against Chizkiyo HaMelech. And he shouldn't be afraid of Sancheiriv's army. V'hoya l'mikdosh. Hashem will be l'mikdosh. One meaning is, He'll be a tower, of a fortress of strength. U'le'even negef. He'll also be a stone that people bang against. A striking stone. U'le'tzur michshol, or a rock that people stumble on. Which is worse. An even negef, the person doesn't hit the ground. He bangs his foot on something. He bangs on the stone. And tzur michshol is sometimes it's even worse. He trips and he falls with all of his force onto the ground. But Hashem will be, l'mikdosh will be a fortress of strength. And he'll also be an even negef, a tzur michshol, a stone that hurts, lishnei vote Yisrael, for the two houses in Klal Yisrael. There's two separate groups. One meaning is there's the group of Chizkiyo HaMelech. And there's a different group of Shevna. And there's two separate houses. And for one of them, for Chizkiyo, he's going to grow from this experience, and Hashem will be that fortress of strength to protect him. And he'll continue, he'll see the fact that his devotion to Hashem will inspire him and bring him to even greater heights of Avodas Hashem. And this other family, this other group, Shevna, Hashem will be them an Even Negef and a Tzur Michshol. Lepach ulemokesh, a trap and a snare, liyoshev Yerushalayim, to those living in Yerushalayim. It could either mean those who oppose the Yoshev Yerushalayim. Chizkiyo, who's in Yerushalayim, the Targum says this, that he'll be a pachul mokesh, a trap and a snare, liyoshev Yerushalayim, because Shevna and his group turned against the household of David, the royal family in Yerushalayim. It could also mean liyoshev Yerushalayim, those that in Yerushalayim were working against Chizkiyo, they'll be trapped. Those who are ready to go to the enemy, there'll be an even negef, a tzur michshol. They'll stumble, they'll hit the rock, everything's revealed. We can see the stone, you can see the rock, and sometimes the person who's unaware gets hurt. Those that are working secretly, and they're Yoshev Yerushalayim, they're in Yerushalayim, and they're trying to undermine the government, but it's hidden what they're doing. For them, Hashem says, there'll be a pach and a mokesh, the trap and the snare, which are hidden, and without a person being able to see it, they'll have their downfall. V'hoyel mikdash could also mean referring to the Beis HaMikdash, which is called an Evan, which is called a rock. V'hoyel mikdash ul Evan Negev ul Tzur Michshol. It could be alluding to the fact that because of the disregard for the Beis HaMikdash, therefore the two houses of Israel suffered, the house of the ten tribes, the Aseres HaShvatim, who left Malchus Yehuda, who left the Beis HaMikdash, and they went to do their own, live their own life. And the other house of those that were outside Yerushalayim, who also joined Malchus Yisrael, leaving Chizkiyahu all alone in Yerushalayim. V'hoya l'mikdash, it could also mean l'mikdash, Rashi says, is like, l'mikdash means to prepare. Like hiskadshu l'machar, prepare yourself for tomorrow's event. Hiskadshu can mean to prepare yourself. V'hoya l'mikdash, this group that's working against Chizkiyahu should know that the efforts that they're putting into this project are efforts that are going to hurt them. It's against them. V'hoya l'mikdash, what they're doing is an invitation for disaster. It's a preparation for the Evan Negev, the Tzur Michshol, the striking stone, and the rock that causes others to stumble. What they're doing is they're causing the downfall. Lishnei Bote Yisrael, for the two houses of Klal Yisrael, those that worked against Chizkiyahu, both in the city and outside the city, Lepachu Lemokesh, because they could be, it means they were a trap and a snare, Liyoshev Yerushalayim. They were working against Chizkiyahu. And therefore, what they're doing will bring about their own harm. V'choshlu bom rabim, and many people will stumble, and they'll be hurt on these stones. V'noflu, they'll fall. V'nishporu, they'll be broken. V'nokshu, they'll be trapped. V'nilkodon, they'll be ensnared. A lot of different words describing how they get hurt. Those working against Chizkiyahu, very often a person puts, some people place their faith and their strength, their physical strength, kochi v'otzim yadi. Others put their strength and their efforts. The fact that they've worked and they've thought and they've planned will guarantee their success. Or perhaps their chokhmah, their wisdom. For others, they believe it's their wealth that will save them, or their connections. Whatever they're doing to work against Chizkiyahu, whatever they're putting their trust in, if it's not working with Hashem, v'choshlu bom rabim, the many will stumble. And there's many different ways in which they'll be hurt, depending on Hashem as His calculations. Some are v'noflu, they'll fall, v'nishboru, and be broken, v'nokshu, and trapped, v'nilkadu, and ensnared. Tzor Te'uda. And Yeshaya is told, Tzor Te'uda, to bind up this warning. The word Te'uda, it's the Shoresh is the word aid, a witness. When a person gives a warning, certainly for instance if Aiden, if there are witnesses, and they warn somebody that if he does a certain action, he's going to bear the consequences. So the Edom give a warning. A warning is given, and there have to be witnesses about this warning. And therefore, very often, the word warning is called a te'uda with the word witnesses, because witnesses are there when the warning is given. Over here, the warning we're talking about is the Torah. The Torah is full of warnings for our betterment, that we should know what to be careful, what to do and what not to do, in order to navigate our way through life. In Tzor Te'uda, you should tie up the warnings, tie up the Torah that it should be close to you and be connected and attached to you. Chasom Torah, seal the Torah, bilimudoi, in my students, in those who learn me, that the Talmidei Chachamim, those who are Yirei Shamayim, those who fear Hashem, they should feel connected and tied to the Torah. It should become part of them. Yeshaya is right now at a very dangerous moment, a very crucial moment in Klal Yisrael's history. He's talking about the period of time when Sancheiru will bring his army and they'll surround Yerushalayim. And you'll have Chizkiyahu there who's going to be learning Torah and teaching Torah. And there'll be a group of many, many people who are going to try to overthrow Chizkiyahu and make peace with the enemy. The protection at this time is Tzor Teuda. He has to tie the warning, the Torah has to become part of them. Chasom Torah b'limudoi. The Torah should be sealed among those who learn it, that it shouldn't be forgotten. It should be reviewed again and again, that it shouldn't be forgotten. It could also mean Tzor. Tzor can mean to like make a tziur, make a picture. The Malbim had learned that when Yeshaya took that scroll with the message, Maher Sholol Choshbaz, that the plunder and the spoils were hastening, the Malbim had learned that he was actually supposed to draw a picture to represent a battle with the enemy coming and taking the spoils. And now he's told Tzor Teuda. This image, this vision of the warning I'm giving, which now becomes part of the Torah, but it could be referring specifically to this warning, not to join Shevna, don't join the opposition, Tzor Teuda, draw it, make it lifelike, that people should envision it and be able to see it with their eyes. Chasom Torah b'limudoi, and seal the Torah b'limudoi in the Talmidim, those that are still learning. It could be it's referring to those later prophets that would follow in the steps of Yeshaya that we learned earlier in Pasuk Beis. V'o'idoli edim ne'monim. Yeshaya had faithful witnesses that there'll be a punishment and there'll be a consolation, there'll be a salvation. Es Uriah HaKohen. Uriah had spoke about destruction and Zechariah ben Yeverechyahu had spoke about the consolation. Take the young ones. They weren't born yet. But it's prophetically as if he's telling, instruct future generations. Chasom Torah b'limudoi. That they should seal the Torah. And those future students, Uriah and Zechariah, that they should follow in your steps and deliver the prophecies. Looking through history, it's one thing that is clear, is that there's no... In the crises that confront Klal Yisrael, in different points in history, there were different ways we were supposed to react. In the second Beis Hamikdash, the famous Gemara we learn on Tisha B'Av, it's meant to be learned year round, but it's most often learned on Tisha B'Av, Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. The Gemara has the story that in Yerushalayim there was enough food to feed the people for over 20 years. There was no way that the Romans would have been able to conquer the city if they would lay siege and nothing would come in or out. The people could still survive. They had plenty. And yet there were Bar Yaini, there were a group of young ruffians that felt that they could go and fight the mighty Roman Empire. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai insisted that they have to go and make peace. And these Bar Yoini, the people went, and they figured that as long as there's food, as long as the people feel they don't have to surrender, they won't. They feel they don't have to fight, they won't go and fight. So they went and they burned down all of the storehouses, so that there was no longer any food. There was no longer any food. And then from hunger, They had to fight. There's no choice. They couldn't remain in the city. There were no supplies coming in. And the Gemara relates how there was such a famine. There was nothing to buy. Marsa Baspaisus sent some of our servant out to buy bread, and they didn't have that quality. And it discusses how the famine, the people were weakened and were emaciated. Rav Tzadok was, he was almost, you could look right through his body. You could see whatever food that went down. You could see it going through. He was almost transparent from malnutrition. But what happened was there was plenty. Originally, there was plenty of food. And at that point, the Das Torah was not to go out and fight. Just stay where they are, and eventually, they'll be saved. The Baryoni felt they should go out and fight. And what happened was, it led eventually to the Churban. Over here, we have Shevna, feels that they should go out and make peace. And Chizkio is saying, no, let's let it be known that we're not surrendering. And we'll see the miracle that will happen with Chizkio. But at different points in history, there were different reactions. The Gemara relates that in the times of Yoshio HaMelech, which was the next righteous king to live after after Chizkio HaMelech, there were some bad kings in the middle, Amon, Manasseh and Amon. But in the times of Yoshio, the king of Mitzrayim wanted to come with his army and travel through Eretz Yisrael. And he insisted, V'cherev lo savor ba'artzachem, when you do the will of Hashem, no enemy soldiers will come through the land. And at that point, he didn't consult Yirmiyahu HaNavi. He made a mistake. He didn't discuss with Das Torah. The people were not really righteous. In secret, they were still worshipping idols. And eventually, he was shot with 300 arrows. The great tzaddik, Yoshio HaMelech. So in different times, sometimes it's meant to make peace. Sometimes the intention is to make war. At every juncture, a person needs to be connected to Torah. And right now, in this point, with an army like Sancheirav outside, and Chizkio and his men in Yerushalayim, Tzor Te'uda, there's a special warning and a message that the Torah has to be tied to the people. Chasom Torah b'limudoi, the Talmidim have to have the Torah sealed within them, that it won't be forgotten. The Gemara learns out in Sanhedrin, Adaf Kuf Gimel, Ochaz had actually said, Tzor Te'uda, the same words, the Gemara says, with an exact opposite connotation. Ochaz said, lock up the Bate Mikdash, Chasom Torah B'limudoi, seal the Torah that the student shouldn't get to it. He locked the doors to the Beis HaKnesses and to the Beis Medrash, and that nobody should be able to learn and to get to know Hashem. The Mefarshim, the simple meaning of these psukim, the way the Mefarshim here learn, is that Tzor Te'uda, that the exact opposite meaning, that people should strengthen themselves in Torah. And the truth is the two go hand in hand. At a time when Torah is threatened, and the enemies, people like the king Ochaz, had said Tzor Te'uda, to lock up the Torah, that it shouldn't be accessible, and people shouldn't be able to learn. At that point, our attitude has to be Tzor Te'uda, to not lock up the Torah that we can't get it, but lock up the Torah within ourselves, to become attached, to learn Torah, and to know what Hashem wants from us. And then that's the chus, we'll be saved from the armies of Sancheirav and from the other dangers that confront Klal Yisrael. V'chikisi l'Hashem. And Yeshaya says, I waited for Hashem. Hamastir ponov mi beis Yaakov. Hashem who hides his face, mi beis Yaakov, from the house of Yaakov, which here could be referring to the 10 tribes, the Aseres HaShvatim. And there's a hester upon him. It seems like the mighty enemy came, and they conquered, and they took them away. We don't see miracles. Hester Ponim is when Hashem hides, Kaviyochol, it's as if Hashem is not visible in the normal course of events. Whatever happens, good or bad, seems to be without Hashem controlling it. And Yeshaya says, I waited for Hashem, v'kiveisilo, and I hoped for Him. And as difficult as the times were, I placed my trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rashi brings down, it's printed on the next pasuk, but Rashi says, Ein lecho nevua kasha, ka'osa shoa sh'amar Moshe, v'anochi haster aster panai bayomahu. There was no time as difficult for Klal Yisrael than when Moshe already foretold in the Torah that Hashem will hide His face. Sometimes we suffer a punishment, but we can tell that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one behind it. They often say the child educators, if there's a child that acts out and he has negative behavior, he's a discipline problem, it's hard to control. Very often it comes that the child wants attention. He wants somebody to notice him. And if the parent doesn't come over and give him a compliment or notice the good about him, so he makes some mischief and trouble so that he should get noticed. If he doesn't get a love tap, so let him get a patch. But he wants to at least know that his parents know that he's there. His teacher should notice him in the class. So that desire to be noticed in, which is a healthy, a person's given that desire for recognition and he has to channel it, that he should feel, I want to do actions that are worthy of recognition. But that need that a person has a need to be noticed and cared for, and if it's not dealt with in a positive way, so there's a negative punishment, the kid will do something, even if he'll get punished for it, but at least he should be noticed. It's better to get yelled at by the parent than to be just ignored. At the time that Hashem said, V'anochi haster aster panai v'yomahu, I'm going to hide my face from Klal Yisrael, and they won't see my presence. They won't be aware of the fact that I'm behind their suffering. That's the most painful. It feels as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just leaving us to chance. And at that point, when Moshe Rabbeinu told us, V'anochi haster aster panai v'yomahu, that Hashem is going to hide His face, he was told, V'ansa hashira hazos lefanav le'ed. Teach the people the song of Hazinu, the whole Torah, because the song of the Torah will be what will keep them going. Kilosi shochach mipizaro, because the Torah will not be forgotten. At the time of Hester Ponim, when Hashem's presence is hidden, that's the time especially of Tzor Te'uda, Chasom Torah B'limudoi, where the Torah has to be connected to us, and Klal Yisrael has to strengthen their learning of Torah, that the Torah should be part of them. Hine Anochi, behold, I, what I've done, Yeshaya did this writing of the scroll and naming his children. V'hayilodim asher natan li Hashem, the children that Hashem gave me. La'osos ulamosim b'Yisrael, their signs and their wonders among the Jewish people. The children he had, he named one child Maher Sholo Choshbaz, that there's going to be the plundering and the enemy is going to take the spoils. Referring to what will happen to the 10 tribes. There was another child, or could be it was the same one we've discussed, Immanuel, that Immanuel with us is Kael, Hashem is with us, that Hashem would save Chizkio and the group in Yerushalayim. There was a child born earlier, Sha'or Yashuv, and that child was given a name, Sha'or, the remnant Yashuv, that even though they go into Golos, they'll be brought back. So, Hine Anochi, I, what I've done, writing this scroll, if I Yelodim Asher Nasan Li Hashem, and the children that Hashem gave me, they're all La'osos, it's a sign, Ulamosim, and a wonder be Yisrael, Me'im Hashem Tzvokos, and what I've done is not my own idea. It's all from Hashem. Hashem told me to give the names for these children, to write this scroll. Whatever Yeshaya did to foretell the future, it was all coming Me'im Hashem Tzavakos from Hashem Hashochim Bahar Tzion, who dwells on Har Tzion, the place of the Beis HaMikdash, in Yerushalayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who dwells there, is the one who instructed me to do this. The Sfarno says, in Parshas Vayera, when Moshe was told to Nulochem Mofes, that Paro said to Moshe, give a wonder. Over there the Sfarno explains, an oath, a sign, is just like a sign that it should be known that you're on a message from that you're on a shlichus, you're a messenger from Hashem. When Moshe came to the Jewish people, he was going to give them an oath. He wanted to give them a sign just that they should know who he is. Who's this person who shows up and he says Hashem's going to let them out of Mitzrayim? Who's Moshe? So he wanted to give them a sign just to show that he is Moshe. It's not a question of giving them a wonder. They know that Hashem is... Klal Yisrael believed in Hashem and they knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do everything. The question was, how do you know that Moshe is the one? So he just wants to give a sign that people should know that he's the messenger from Hashem. It was called a sign, what Moshe did for the Jewish people. It was just a sign that he's a shaliach. Paro didn't believe in Hashem. Mi Hashem Asheresh Mabakolo. Who's Hashem? Paro wanted a mofes, a wonder. I want to know, you're being sent by Hashem, let me see a wonder. These children, and what Yeshaya has done, is on one hand it's laosos, it's a sign that when these things come true, you'll know that it was foretold. And you'll realize that what Yeshaya has been telling is the word of Hashem. There'll be punishment, there'll be good. When you see the 10 tribes taken away, you'll realize that it's an oath, it's a sign. Yeshaya foretold that. And Yeshaya is foretelling that Chizkio will be safe in Yerushalayim. And whatever Yeshaya is telling us, it's a sign that he's a messenger from Hashem. And it's also a mofes. These are going to be wonders. These are foretelling wonders that are going to happen. As we'll see, the tremendous miracle, how Sanherib's whole army is wiped out. So this is all the osos, the mofsim, it's signs and wonders that Hashem gave. It's me'im Hashem tzvokos. It's Hashem who's tzvokos, who again controls all of the hosts and all of the beings on heaven and on earth. Hashochim b'har tzion. And Hashem has the whole world. All the worlds, we should say. Everything is Hashem's. But Hashochim Bahar Tzion. Where does Hashem dwell? Hashem dwells Bahar Tzion, on the Har Tzion, in the Beis HaMikdash, in Yerushalayim. And out of the whole world, this is Hashem's place. And Hashem is going to save Yerushalayim, and He's going to save Chizkiyo. V'chiyomru Aleichem. And when the others will say to you, Tishuel HaOvos Vel HaYidonim, inquire after the Ovos. Ovos is there was a way that a person could bring up the spirits. He could speak to those who had passed on, who were nifter previously, and somehow bring up the neshama and communicate with them. In Shmuel, it says how Shaul brought up the spirit of Shmuel Hanavi. That's Ovos. Vel HaYidonim is some other type of Kishif, some type of like black magic. They would take a bone from a certain animal, the Yidoni, and they put the bone in their mouth, and somehow there were sounds that came out, and it conveyed some type of message. And others will tell you, Chizkiyo, Yeshaya Hanavi, all of you group of Talmidim and those who fear Hashem. You know, it's very fine to learn and to do the Ratzon of Hashem, but right now there's an enemy outside numbering in the millions. We need to have action to do something now. Inquire to the Ovos and the Yidonim, HaMitzafzafim VaMagim, that chirp, or Magim, they make some other type of sound. They don't speak coherently, but whatever type of message they give, it's not a clear talk. It's like chirping. It's But inquire after the Ovos and the Yidonim. Halo Am El Elokov Yidrosh. Your response should be, an Am, a nation, like Klal Yisrael, El Elokov Yidrosh. We seek our guidance from Hashem. An Am should turn to Elokov, to Hashem. Ba'ar HaChaim El HaMesim, for the living do you turn to the dead? We're in a better position than they are. You don't have to inquire from the dead what's going to be. Halo Am El Elokov Yidrosh. It could also be V'chiyomra Aleichem. They'll say to you, inquire about the Ovos and the Yidonim. Those who say that, their message is as meaningless as Hametzafzafim V'amagim, those that chirp and make other bird noises. And whatever they say has no importance whatsoever. Don't get carried away with the oratory effects and their speaking powers. It's like chirping. Just ignore it. And they'll tell you, Halo Am El Elohov Yidrosh. This could be what they're saying. Every nation serves their idols. According to this explanation, Elohov means their gods, the Avodah Zarahs. They'll tell you, Halo Am El Elohov Yidrosh. Every nation goes after their Avodah Zarahs. Barachayim El Amesim. And for the living, they want to know what's going to happen with the living. They inquire from the dead. If they tell you such a thing, your response, other Mephoshim learned, the response is the next two words. L'torov l'suda. L'sorov l'suda. For Klal Yisrael, we don't need these other ways of inquiring from the dead. We know what's gonna be. It's all in the Torah. L'torov l'suda. From the Torah and from the warnings of the Torah. It could also mean the Sorov Lisuda. It's as if he's swearing by the Torah and by the warnings he's given. Yeshaya is telling you, Im lo yomru kadover hazem. I guarantee you that the people will say such a thing. Im lo yomru kadover hazem. They wouldn't say such a thing. Asher ein lo shachar. Such a thing that there's no light to it. There's no brilliance. It's empty, dark messages, and it has no power, and there's nothing to believe or to put your trust in. There were many Nevi'im in Klal Yisrael. Their prophecies were only written down. We only record the Nevi'im that are of message, that have an import and an importance for us nowadays. There was a Navi, Hosea. He's one of the 12 smaller prophecies, the Treyosar. And Hosea's father, Be'eri, was also a prophet. And his father said two psukim of prophecy that were to be kept for all generations. But it was only two verses. And his father, Be'eri, said this nevuah to the Aseres HaShvatim, to the 10 tribes. And at that point, he spoke to the 10 tribes and he said, V'chiyomru aleichem, people will tell you, Dir shu'el ha'ovos v'la yidonim, go and look after these other powers and beliefs, the metzavtzvim v'hamagim, those that chirp, they're going to tell you to go follow these alternative, what they believe to be powers. And these two psukim is what Be'eri said. Halo am el elokov. It depends how you translate the pasuk. Either it could be Halo Am El Elohov Yidrosh. Every nation goes after the idols, Barachayim El Amesim, and yet for the living they inquire from the dead. And Be'eri told the people in the 10 tribes, L'torov L'suda. But he's swearing by the Torah and by all the warnings in Lo Yomru Kadover Hazeh that you're going to hear such talk. If you didn't hear it yet, you'll hear it. There's always going to be those who are going to say, there are other things that you should do to foretell the future. And he's going to say these things, Asherin lo shachar. And the Navi says, you should know whatever you hear has no illumination to it. These words were said by Be'eri to the 10 tribes. It was recorded in Yeshaya. Yeshaya told it over to his people in Yerushalayim also, this message from Hashem. But it was originally recorded. These two psukim were recorded by the Navi Be'eri. this will be said at a time we just learned, V'chikisi l'Hashem. Yeshaya said, I waited for Hashem, who's hamastir ponav mi beis Yaakov, who's hiding his face from beis Yaakov, from the house of Yaakov. V'kivesi lo, and I hoped for Hashem. At the time of Hester Ponim, when Hashem's greatness is not easily noticed in the world, and Hashem hides himself, kaviyachol, at that point, that's when everyone rises from the cracks, and you start hearing the chirping and the rumors and the talk. V'chiyomra aleichem, people say, oh, they don't see the open miracles. And they say, Dir shol ovos v'la yidonim, inquire about the ovos and the yidonim. Let's do these other practices. And if you haven't heard it yet, you will hear it. Im lo yomru kadover hazeh, they'll say such things. At a time of Hester Ponim, a person has to be more on the alert for those who want to mislead us off of the right path. But on that path, the path we're talking about, the 10 tribes already went on that road. And they went on that road, the Niksha, the one who's, from the word kosha, who's troubled, who has a hard lot, a hard time in life. The one who goes this way is the one who is Niksha, who's troubled. Veroiv and hungry. Could be means he's hungry for the word of Hashem. He doesn't have Nevuah. Doesn't have the word of Hashem. The 10 tribes went this route. The troubled route, the hungry route. And those who followed the Ovos and the Yidonim, these other beings, when they get hungry, and then they become angry. Such a person gets angry. And he curses his king, and his Avodah Zarah, his gods, and then he turns to Hashem. By the Goyim, by those who serve Avodah Zarahs, they don't believe in the Avodah Zarah. They don't have a reverence and an awe for the greatness and the strength and the power and the benevolence and the love and the all that talk is meaningless. Those who follow the idols do it simply because they feel they're going to get something out of it. Or nowadays, it's like the poiskim say, minigav oseim v'yadeim. The truth is, nowadays, most of the goyim who worship the other religions just follow it. That's the practice. That's what their father and grandfather did. But they don't even believe it. They don't believe it. But those who did believe it, believed it because they thought they would get something out of it. They thought they would get something out of it. And all of a sudden, when things go wrong, they're troubled, they're hungry, their reaction is to just curse and say, oh, they cursed out that idol, and they're angry, and then they turn to Hashem. But at that point, it could be it'll be too late. Those that have over Avodah Zarah, and just when it's for their benefit, in desperation, now they'll turn to Hashem. But if they abandoned Hashem earlier, the Ufana L'mola won't help them. Vel Eretz Yabi, and he'll look to the land. In fact, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah on Daf Nun Gimel has a discussion if a non-Jew has an idol, and then the non-Jew decides he doesn't want to worship it anymore, and he goes and he cuts off the nose, he destroys the idol. He does something to show that it's meaningless. He doesn't care about it. At that point, he was mevatel avodah zarah, and it's permitted. You're allowed to take it, and you can use it. You can sell it. You can, if it's made out of gold, it's worth something. But if the guy just goes ahead and disgraces it, he spits at it, or he throws some manure at the idol, it's still called an avodah zarah. And the Gemara brings these psukim, because the nature is, he can go as a nikshav arayv, this guy who's troubled, and he's hungry, and he gets angry, and he curses his God. And then he turns to Fon Olamol, he can turn to Hashem. But if he didn't physically alter the Avodah Zarah, if he didn't change it, just he spit at it, Next day, Vel Eretz Yabid, again he's looking to the ground. He's now no longer looking up to heaven. Vel Eretz Yabid, he's looking again to the Avodah Zarah. Unless he physically altered the Avodah Zarah, there's always that danger that he'll come right back to it. So this Niksha Veroiv, the one who's troubled as a result of following his Avodah Zarah, will end up cursing the Avodah Zarah. He'll see that it has no power. And the greatness, Lahavdol, the greatness of Klal Yisrael, is that we're exactly the opposite. Like we say, like it says in Tehillim, Kos Yeshua's Esa, when I lift up a cup of Yeshua, of salvation, uveshem Hashem Ekra, so I call out in the name of Hashem. And if Tzar of Yogon Emsa, and by the same means, if there's difficulties, also v'shem Hashem Ekra. That Klal Yisrael, whether the going is good, or the going doesn't seem to be good, it's difficult, but Klal Yisrael stays with HaKadosh Baruch Hu no matter what. V'es'am oni toshia. The Zohar brings down that Hashem will save the Am Oni, the poor nation. Oni means a nation that's suffering with Yisurim. The Me'am Lois brings this down. That even if somebody has wealth, but if he's suffering, and people are suffering from all different types of troubles that Klal Yisrael is going through, the Am Oni, the poor, the suffering nation, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come and save. Because Klal Yisrael, with all of their difficulties, we remain connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says in Tehillim, in Kapitel Mem Dalet, it's the whole pasuk, the whole kapitel talks about this theme. After Zanachta Vatachlimenu, you abandon, you disgrace us, you don't go forth with our armies, Tishiveni Ochar Mini Tzor, sometimes we feel like Hashem causes us to retreat from the oppressor. Tignenu kitzon machol. We're given like sheep to be eaten. Tim karamcha belohon. We're like, your nation is sold for no fortune. And the whole kapitel in Tehillim talks, Klal Yisrael feels that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has like abandoned us. Ki olecha horagnu kol hayom. We're killed all the time because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nechshavnu kitzon tivcha, we're like sheep for the slaughter. And the Mizmor ends off, Kumu azros olanu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, arise, like Kaviyochel, get up and help us. Ufadenu l'man chastecha, and redeem us for the sake of your kindness. Things are difficult, and we pour out our crying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's the exact opposite of these people that follow the Ovos and the Yidonim. Vel Eretz Yabi, and then he looks to the ground. V'netzora v'chashecha, and there's the tzora, the misfortune, and the darkness. Me'uf tzuka, the weariness of distress. V'afela menudach, and he's menudach, he's banged, he's buffeted, he's knocked into the darkness. Those that are following after their Avodah Zarah, Vel Eretz Yabid, he turned up, Vel Eretz Yabid, Kubi looks to the ground to see, are there any other nations that will come and help? V'hinei Tzara, instead of having nations to assist him, Tzara, there is misfortune, there are opponents, V'chashecha, and there's a darkness. And Chashecha means when there's no light. Me'uf Tzuka, and a weariness, Tzuka, of the distress, meaning tzuka can mean internally, he himself feels distressed. Va'afelo menudach. And sometimes the darkness is just, it's not just a lack of the sun, but it's a darkness that's even deeper than that. And afelo menudach, and he feels like he's banged and he's thrust into this afelo. Kilo mu'af lasher mutzak lo. There won't be any weariness. Lasher mutzak lo. To the one that is bringing the distress. Sancheirov is coming with his army, and they're going to bring distress on the land. And Sancheirov won't become weary. Kilo mu'af la'asher mutzakla. Those that are causing the distress, they won't be weary. Ko'es harishon, like the earlier exiles, heikal arza zavulun v'arza naftali, when the land of Zavulun and Naftali were exiled. V'achron hichbid. But the last one, hichbid, the final exile of the 10 tribes will be the greatest. There was small exiles before. The 10 tribes were exiled in stages. And the end of it will be the heaviest. Derech Hayom, those that will be taken across the sea, Eivor HaYarden, across the Yarden, Galil HaGoyim, the outlying areas of the nations. We'll continue this in Yitz Hashem next week.
All right. All right. All right.